Let's all stand together tonight. And we're going to look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 28, a message I call simply wild flowers, Matthew 6, 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? May God bless the reading of his word tonight. It's my prayer. You may be seated. Wild flowers. The Greek word that is translated lily in verse 28 means simply flower. And I know, you know, we think about this passage a lot of times around Easter time, but I can say almost without fear of contradiction that what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the lilies of the field was not those beautiful lilies that we have around Easter. These were indeed flowers. He would call them the flowers of the field then, which is therefore where I got the title of our message tonight, wild flowers. Now, just because they grow wild does not diminish the beauty of these kinds of plants. One of the things that I kind of miss about being in the Ozarks was being able to drive around and see those beautiful fields full of wildflowers. And I have to confess that I would have probably driven right past a lot of them and barely given them a notice had it not been for my mother. And my mother, along with her sister, my Aunt Jane, were absolutely fascinated with wildflowers. I don't know why that was. After all, they grew up on a cotton farm in South Arkansas, and there's no telling how many of them things they had to cut down when they were growing up as kids. But regardless, I don't know how it all happened exactly, but over time, they really got into the wildflowers. And Mother could call the names of just about any wildflower that you saw. And some of them may have been botanically correct, or they may have just been a colloquial name. I don't know. But she would point out this one, well, that's an Indian paintbrush. This one, that's a butterfly plant. Those are blue bonnets. And Mama, I also will tell you, after all, the statute of limitations has run out on it by now. But Mama seldom came to see us in Branson without a shovel in the back of her car and a bucket. And yes, it was illegal to dig up wildflowers across the right-of-way in the state of Missouri, and it may be in the state of Arkansas, but that was one law that Mom was not ever all that much concerned about. And she would take those wildflowers home and plant them very carefully in her flower beds. And somehow or another, she made them look pretty. And yes, just a few weeks ago when we were finishing up down there, I did notice that some of those wildflowers were still growing there in her flower beds. Now, her sister Jane was far different. While Mother was very meticulous about hers, Aunt Jane and where she planted them and where they grew, Aunt Jane didn't care where they grew. And so they just ended up growing all over her yard, literally. Now, to the untrained observer, if you were to drive by my Aunt Jane's car, Aunt Jane's house, and look, you might think that somebody was just letting that place grow up, because Aunt Jane refused to mow down a wildflower. And you know, some of them grew pretty tall. And you might look at that and say, man. But now listen to Aunt Jane. That was her flower garden. She loved it. Now, I've heard her mama have a discussion or two. I wish you could have heard it. I'd love to hear him again right now, I'll tell you. Mama, why don't you mow your yard? Aunt Jane, I'm not going to mow. No, no. Anyway, after seeing that, and I never really looked at this passage exactly the same way after being around Mom and Aunt Jane and seeing the way they were about wild flowers. Now, interpreters differ over which flower this actually is. Most of them weigh in on the side of the red anemone, or anemone, I don't know exactly how it's pronounced, but that's the picture that you see. A very beautiful red flower that indeed would grow across the field. And most of them believe that was the one that Jesus was talking about when he called spoke of the flowers of the field, because it blooms after a rain. In that desert country, it blooms only for one day. And it, along with the other grasses, then would be harvested and dried and used for fuel in that woodless country where they would burn it to provide fuel for their ovens. So they thought that probably that red flower was the one they were talking about. But now, as beautiful as a field full of wildflowers are, had we looked out across that field at some historical moment and been able at that moment in time to see the incredible King Solomon out there in the field in all his royal regalia, the chances are we wouldn't be noticing the flowers. And it's very possible, in fact, that we might just go busting out there, trampling on those flowers just to get to King Solomon, maybe pick up his autograph. I mean, can you imagine what King Solomon looked like out there in the field? Jesus was in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And he was preaching then about the issue of worry. And he brings that up in verse 31, saying, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." What great advice that was, what great teaching that was that Jesus gave us in the Sermon on the Mount. But remember, what he told us to do was to consider. You consider. Think carefully about those wild flowers. And so tonight, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help us all think carefully about wildflowers. And the first thing we'll think about them is the glory of the wildflower, because Jesus made a comparison with King Solomon's glory. And we would notice immediately that the wildflower does not have Solomon's glory. Not at all. Solomon's glory, you see, was connected to his incredible wealth. In fact, we to this day have speak proverbially about the wealth of Solomon and how incredibly wealthy he was. How wealthy was it exactly? Well, the Bible says that Solomon made silver like stones in Jerusalem. One of the things that you notice when you go to Jerusalem is it is very, very rocky country. There's rocks on the hillside, rocks in the valleys, rocks on top of the mountain. Everywhere you look, there are exposed rocks. If you think it's bad in Saline County, not as bad there. You think it's bad maybe around here, not as bad as it is in Jerusalem. There's rocks everywhere. So when the Bible says that Solomon made silver like stones in Jerusalem, he was talking about the incredible affluence that Solomon had and its incredible abundance. Everything then about Solomon and his glory would exude wealth. He had the very best that money could buy. But the wildflower had none of that. Solomon also had the glory of position or rank. After all, Solomon was the king in Israel, and he occupied that position during a time when arguably the influence of the nation of Israel was at its peak. And in fact, the influence of the nation of Israel would not get back to the level that it was in the days of Solomon until one that Jesus described as being greater than Solomon. And that was he himself, of course. There was a greater than Solomon as he. And when that greater than Solomon, Solomon's greater son, Jesus himself, sits on the throne of Israel, obviously it will be more influential, more powerful, a greater country than it was even in Solomon's day. Solomon then had glory that was associated with his wealth. Solomon had glory that was associated with his position or his office. Solomon lived in a palace for the most part. His glory stood out because of its surroundings. But that's not so with the wildflower. It really doesn't matter where the wildflower is. Wildflower grows. It may have been surrounded by other beautiful flowers. It might have been surrounded by something akin to ragweed. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what its surroundings are, where it's growing at. The wildflower's glory is not determined by the neighborhood that it lived in. What was the glory then of the wildflower that Jesus wanted us to think about? Well, first of all, the glory of the wildflower had to do with its natural condition. It's impossible, you see, to think that this plant was putting on a wildflower face to hide its sandbar character. No. The wildflower had nothing to enhance its beauty. The wildflower did not wear makeup. Never had its hair did. Nothing. The wildflower exists in its natural condition. It had nothing that money could buy, but of course it had all the things that money can't buy. Its glory was found in its natural condition. It was not an enhanced kind of glory at all. It was immune to any outside influence. Anything that anybody would do, for the most part, to try to improve on a wildflower is probably going to mess it up. One of the things I learned about Arkansas when I moved over just a little bit east of here was about a marvelous thing called the Grand Prairie. Now, you might think that growing up in Arkansas, I would have known all about the Grand Prairie. I did not. I grew up in South Arkansas. We knew about pine trees, hills, and a lot of swamps. That was it. And I knew there was a capital city up there and mountains in the north, but I just somehow or another, I might have slept through that class on Arkansas history. Somehow I missed about the Grand Prairie. Some of you are looking at me kind of funny tonight. You might have missed that too. If so, let me inform you that there is an area over here that was natural prairie ground right here in our state. It's just not been cleared. It was that way. It was natural grassland. And it grew, of course, beautiful wild flowers. I learned from the farmers over there that there was very little of that prairie ground left because it all went under the plow. And once it went under the plow, those natural grasses and flowers were gone for good. And so only a small portion of that beautiful prairie ground that was over there at one time has been preserved. But hey, we're thankful for all that great rice and corn and soybeans that they grow over there now. Grand Prairie. But that was once covered in wildflowers. But man's efforts then to improve that country wiped out the wildflowers. Tells us then something about it. You know, it doesn't really need our help. It'll do just fine at what God designed it to do all by itself. Its glory then is just in that breathtaking, unspotted beauty. There's no intrinsic value about it. You can't eat it. You can't use it to cover a house. It's kind of like our money. It has no intrinsic value. The only thing that made it valuable, makes our money valuable, is that you think it's worth something and I think it's worth something. And there may come a time where none of us think it's worth anything anymore. And we'll find out what we're talking about when we say that money, especially paper money, has no intrinsic value. See, the wildflowers are that way. There wasn't a market you could trade them in. What was its glory? Its glory was in its beauty. nothing else. But then we can also consider the testimony of the wild flower. There's nothing mystical about that. Wildflowers only do one thing. They grow. They grow. They grow rapidly. And they bloom rapidly. But even though those things are true, it still grows imperceptibly. Now, you might argue about that with me a little bit with that wild flower. Some of you probably call it weed, but and it may very well be a weed, but it is at least some kind of a flower called a dandelion. Now, I don't know how it is exactly, but I can run my lawnmower over dandelions, and by the time I get to the end of the row and look back, they've already grown back. Have y'all noticed that? That's the way it is at my house, anyway. But doesn't matter how fast it appears to us that they're growing. If you sit down and try to watch them grow, you can't see it. And wildflowers are all that way. I'm sure we could have some time-lapse photography that could see it. What do? They just grow. And all at once, they're there. We notice them, for the most part, only when they bloom. But make no mistake about it tonight. Jesus knew this, and he used this example. Every one of them is a tribute to the creative hand of Almighty God. It is God who makes the wildflowers what they are. If we read on in the passage, we'll see that Jesus referred to them as being grass. Not only did he call them flowers, but they were also grass. If God so clothed the grass of the field. You see, only God could make a grass that blooms beautifully. He didn't have to. He didn't. Why did he do it? He didn't tell us why. All we know is that he did. And so every one of those, exactly as Jesus calls it out here, I could almost see him smiling. After all, he was the one who made them all. Consider those wildflowers. Let's take a look over there. You see that? Look at how God clothed the grass of the field. And according to Jesus, the grass of the field grows and blooms beautifully without any work or worry on its part. It never worries about it. It does not have any kind of conscious effort. You're not ever going to see some motivational speaker going around there trying to talk those flowers into bloom. Now, come on, we're going to have a blooming conference today. I probably shouldn't have said that. I meant hope y'all got it the right way. Now, y'all need to bloom more. I tell you, we're not blooming near as much as we did last year. We're going to have to pop this thing up a little bit. Come on, guys. Nobody ever does that with the flowers. They don't work at it. Not a bit. They never think about it. Not a time. They don't toil. They don't set goals. They just do what God made them to do. Could be considered as an example of the law of indirection. Have you ever noticed that the harder you try to sleep, the harder it is to go to sleep? But if you forget about trying to go to sleep, first thing you know, you're waking up. If you're like me, it's about 2:00 in the morning, but you did go to sleep and you have woke up a little bit. Happiness is not achieved by striving for it. The wildflower grows by being what it is and where it is. It is submissive to the divine decree, although it is not consciously so. It grows as God supplies its need. It does what God makes it do. Its glory then is produced by its growth. So is ours. Remember Jesus talked about bearing fruit. I'm the vine, he said. You're the branches. What does a branch do to produce fruit? It abides. It abides. It maintains a connection to the vine. That's all it does. And if it maintains that connection, then it's going to bear fruit. If it doesn't bear fruit, then the husbandman who's in charge of the vine will trim away that unfruitful branch so that the resources of the vine are not wasted. After all, no vine dresser is in business to produce pretty plants. Different kind of thing than the flowers. But it is, in a way, the same kind of principle, because Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, when you bear much fruit." And so there's a fruit that Jesus mentioned, and then there's more fruit, so that every branch that is in me that produces fruit, then the Father will tend it so that it produces more fruit. "Herein is my Father glorified, in that you bear much fruit." So when we grow in a way that God has designed us to grow. We respond to that planting and watering so that as God gives the increase, our growth may be slow and imperceptible, but people are going to notice when we bloom. And we will. And lastly, then, there's the sermon. God gave the wildflower, you see, only one sermon to preach. It preaches it faithfully and well. Verse 30. "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you?" We call that a lesson in contrasts. It is one that Jesus looks at this flower that is here one day, gone the next, and is going to be burned in the oven the next. Has a very short lifespan. It only does one thing. It grows. It looks pretty for a moment and it passes away. And the point is God is not telling us that we're like that flower. He's telling us that we are of much more value than that flower. As he would say of the sparrow, and as the great preacher Dr. R.G. Lee was famous for saying, that he said, "There's never a sparrow that falls to the ground, but that God himself attends the funeral." And that's, again, another thing that Jesus taught us about sparrows. And he said, "So fear not, my little flock." He said, "You're of much more value." See, it's a lesson in contrast. So here's the grass of the field that God made pretty. He didn't have to make it pretty, but he did. But then once it's done its job and it's preached his sermon about the creativity of God, then it's done. And it is thrown in the oven. And it's still useful maybe for a bit, but for the most part, its lifespan is very limited. Its ability to glorify God is very limited. But that is not the case with us. But it is, of course, possible for us to get too concerned about the details of life, with what we're wearing, what we're making, what we're doing, where we're doing it at, and not nearly concerned enough about being clothed with the glory that only God can give us. I like the fact that the lilies of the field, the flowers of the field, the wild flowers, have nothing that money can buy. But they do have what money can't buy. And so tonight we can consider these flowers, wild flowers. Maybe ask ourselves the question, what am I wearing? Am I clothed with the glory of God? Is my life a testimony to his glory? And if we could say, well, yeah, I've been saved by his grace, and I hope you can say that, because that's where it all begins, is to receive Christ as our Savior. And so if we receive Christ as our Savior, we can say, yes, my life is a testimony to the glory of God. I have what only he could do. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't do it for myself. I couldn't make it happen. But God has done it for me. And then we can go beyond that. But how am I doing with all these other days that God gives me, all these other opportunities to give him praise and glory? Consider the lilies. Let's stand together, please.